Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field, going back to Sayre, and Tennessee can say hello, win column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
I made up my mind. I don't expect to ever look back. I'm going to stay at the University of Tennessee. Yeah!
Reddit did to do and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, March 6th. I hope everyone has had a great weekend. Thankfully, I have on my end. It's been a good one. Vols stuff included. Undefeated in the Tommy Bowl. Once again, Rick Barnes, man. I know a lot of people. Me and my brothers talked about this last night. Know a lot of people were frustrated, but he is second season. Well, I don't know if it's a full season, but he went 31 games. Because we were talking about if they've gone a full season undefeated. They've done the win streak at home has been 31 games, is the longest win streak at home. And that was like 17 to 18, I think. 18, 19,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a full season. But, man, what a weekend for the Vols. They did make it interesting. Made us sweat it out a little bit. You had a good weekend in Houston. I know the Lady Vols weren't able to go in the SEC tournament there in Nashville, but was it Kentucky that ended up winning?
Yep.
7 seed. When has that happened in a women's tournament? So that's, I mean,
I think they've won 10 straight. If
oh, wow.
What I saw is correct. So,
wow. Credit to them then. I just thought that was crazy that a women's 7 seed, I feel like that's pretty rare to see a low. Typically in the women's game, it's usually the higher seeds that are coming out on top always. Usually, I'm probably going to get bashed for that because it's not true. I just made a broad statement. So I'm going to go ahead and apologize for that. I know that's probably not right. It was, but it was a good weekend. Fun had by all. Friday night kind of made it out to a slow start, but hey, had to really draw the crowd in. You know, they concluded the weekend in the right way.
Yeah, both teams made it very interesting. But we came out on top, like you said. So that's all that matters.
Exactly. I won't call it a perfect. I did like hearing Coach K chewing out, telling the home crowd to shut up because of the effort was poor that night. That was funny.
Yeah, it was also funny that he lost.
Well, did you listen to his speech at the end for his ceremony?
No, I did not.
He apologized for the effort that night, and the crowd kind of started cheering. He was like, no, be quiet. Be quiet.
And I didn't see that.
It was awesome.
I did see where his assistant didn't shake Hubert Davis's hand through the line. I'm just like, I don't know.
Do you do away with the handshake line?
I think it's the biggest waste. I think it only causes problems is all it does. I think the coaches probably shake hands. But I think there's no reason. Which I think the two head coaches should. Great game. Go back to your locker room. I think that should be the gist of but maybe not. I mean, Juwan Howard made that kind of an issue too, so maybe not. Maybe just do away with all of it.
Well, they had a year without it, so they're just kind of getting back into the swing of things. I don't get why.
A little shaky.
I think you do what?
They're a little shaky right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how to handle it.
Got to get warmed up, definitely. Yeah. It is interesting that you have to go – because I kind of don't understand how you can't just say good game and move on. But also, like, there's a lot of games that end heated, and sometimes it does take a minute to cool down. Do away the handshake line. You heard it here first from Landon. I'm gonna go no comment on that. How about that?
Okay,
that's fair. No comment. We are talking.
I do think, like, especially high school sports. I think it's so dumb.
No, see, I think high school sports, you got it.
But I think that's where very youth. A lot of the problems come.
See, I would argue college is the most. I don't think you've seen it as much in high school, other than that one kid that tackled and punched the guy on TikTok.
There's a lot of like kind of that stuff that happened. Like most stuff that like happens transpires after the game, right?
Right, right. No, I definitely see what you're saying. I'm just, yeah, no, it's kind of a long-winded debate, so I'll leave it at that. Like I just feel like high school, you know, it. I don't know.
Yeah, they're trying to teach sportsmanship. I get that, but.
Well, and that's the whole thing. You know, we talk about like deserving, like earning playing time. It's part of learning how to play the sport, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Anthony Malone said 37214. Is that your area code? Shout out 37214.
Shout out. Yeah.
Shout out. What area code is that? Is that my area code?
I'll look that up.
I think that's my area code.
Really?
I think so. I don't know. I think so. Let's jump right into basketball. We also need to talk about in the first half, Tennessee shot 50% from the field.
It's Nashville.
Nashville? Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm 37614. Don't look it up.
Can I have your credit card information too?
yeah, definitely. Definitely. Can we talk about how Tennessee, which I mean, they finished 46%. My point was going to be they shot 50% from the field in the first half and then couldn't ice the game on free throws. It was very sad. You're like, this team's shooting so good right now. And then late in the game, just kind of diminished. I hate to be negative. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be negative. Tennessee clinched the 2 seed. I'll stop being negative. Tennessee clinched the 2 seed, get the double bye. I mean, I'm happy.
It was just complacent. Like they just, it seemed dead. You know, when Kenny Chandler got in foul trouble, it seems like that's when they were starting to make their run. And the announcers jinxed it on TV anyway. They're like, if they can cut it in within 10 by the 10-minute mark, you know, we probably got a game.
Well, my brother said if they get it to 10 at the mark?
10-minute mark.
Jonathan said if they get it to 10 within at the 5-minute mark, then it's going to be a close game. They got to 11 at 5:14, I think.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we had ourselves a ball game.
I mean, Kenny Chandler, like, I know he's going to be an NBA player, but man, you have to get better.
Got
to
make a free throw.
5 for 6 from three, and then you go 0 for 3 from the free throw line, and two of those are bad.
Yeah.
Like, that first one is straight off the rim. The next one didn't touch anything.
Ask Rick Barnes how he feels about it. ask old Ricky B how he's feeling. It's frustrating. But making those threes, and thankfully you have a guy like Santee who in the last 4 minutes doesn't miss from the free throw line. So that's a positive. But we credit the refs Tuesday night against Georgia, and we have 29 fouls. Was that it? 29 fouls in the first half?
Yeah, we had 50 total.
That's abysmal.
It's a lot of fouls.
You cannot tell me these teams played to 50 fouls.
There's 57 free throws shot in this game.
That's absurd. How did they not get to 100? I mean, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, only
both teams shot 67% from the free throw line.
I mean, I was like, man, we held Arkansas to 29 points in the first half. Well, then they turn around and hold us to 28 in the second half. So it was just very strange.
Well, and that is an unfortunate part about Tennessee's. This Tennessee team is this. You talk about basketball being a game of runs. Tennessee lives and dies by runs.
Oh, 100%.
Get out to a 16-point lead at the half, 16 points at the half, and then
21.
They cut 21 points. Sorry, 21-point lead at the half, and then they cut it to 2 with what, a minute 12 left, I think, is when they cut it to 2. So really living and dying by runs, which when you get into March, you got to cut down on those. And not to, I mean, obviously when you go on a run, it's positive. But defensively, you got to figure out a way to slow those runs down. And a lot of that is your best in run situations. A lot of your best defense is your best offense. When your defense is getting kind of pummeled in those runs and your offense can't score, it kills every momentum you have defensively. So got to find ways to do that. But I mean, you can't. I'm so upset with how. Can you hear my FaceTime? Or is that just very loud in my earphones?
It cut you out for a second.
That was probably it. And she's calling me. I might need to answer that, but the totally lost my train of thought the way that just blasted into my ear. Shout out Apple. Yeah. So runs don't like them when they're against you. That's for sure. That I can't remember what I said now. That I'll end it at that.
I mean, you couldn't have a better half than Tennessee did in the first half. I mean, our trio of guards had 31 points and Arkansas had 29 themselves. So, you know, Kenny Chandler was lighting it up. I think he was 5 for 5 at one point, ended up 5 for 6. I would like – I just think we got, like, complacent. We got boring. You know, it seemed like in the first half we were – the point guard was pushing everything to the rim. And when he got stopped, he would dribble it out and we'd set up our offense. But there was, like, none of that during that run where Arkansas really kind of took over. So I just – I don't know. I would like to see us keep the foot on the gas 100%.
Yeah, and on that note, I thought there was too much of that in the like the latter part of the game when it's a 4-point, 5-point game where our guards would go in, bring it back out, and then there's nothing to do. And that's – I mean, you're right. You got to set up the offense beyond that. But it was almost like – it was like a faux aggression. I'm going to act like I'm going to try to go to the hole, but I'm not going. And especially when they're calling fouls like that, go to the hole, which I guess since it gets to the free throw line, you may not hit it. But be aggressive and get to the rim in that situation. So, I mean, yeah, I see what you're saying. And
do you think that hampers Kenny Chandler from going to the rim more often because he's not a great free throw shooter?
Because
Jalen Williams, he has 4 fouls early in the second half. Like, how do you not go to the rim?
Yeah, it's – I mean, that may, but what sucks is it shouldn't. Like, you just got to go. And another thing about free throws, once you hit one, especially that first one, which once you miss that first one, it can really mess up that headspace. But hit one, and you're feeling confident the next one you take. So, yeah, get to the free throw line regardless of how you're shooting from there.
Yeah, I mean, 0 for 3 just
– it's called a free throw for a reason.
Yeah.
Free is in the name, boys.
When Brandon Huntley Hatfield, he goes 3 for 5. Urosh goes 2 for 2. Adu goes 3 for 4. Fulgerson 3 for 4. I mean, you can't have your starting point guard that's going to be a future NBA draft pick go 0 for 3 from the free throw line. It just can't happen, especially you know, heading into this tournament, that could be the game. And it could have been the game yesterday.
Right.
And it wasn't just him. I mean, Ziegler was 3 for 6. He wasn't great either. I feel like it was the whole team. He could have iced it and didn't.
Yes, it was Ziegler, unfortunately. No, I felt like everyone was poor from the free throw. We had a comment here from Intramural Iceman. Is that Intramural Hockey? Intramural, is it? Curling, maybe. I don't know what Iceman means. He said, if you see this during the show, comment on Tennessee basketball. Finally have 2 athletic big men that can build around and what that means to the future of Tennessee basketball. So we went to that 4 guard with Fulgerson in late in the game. Folky, I get it. He's your you can feel like you can count on him. He's your guy. The way both Adu and Brandon Huntley Hatfield were playing in the second half, I felt like they just added more to protecting the rim. I felt like they added more offensively. I would have liked to see one of them in the game late. I get Fulgerson being out there. I do. But we've talked about Tennessee. It feels like the missing piece the last 2 years has been, especially the last 2 years, has been the big man. Even with Grant Williams, you're like, could you imagine if he had, which you had Kyle Alexander come along. You're like, can you imagine if you had a 7-footer helping protect the rim with Grant Williams? So, yeah, I think it's a huge piece that Tennessee basketball has been missing. If those guys kind of keep progressing just a little bit in March, that adds a ton to the run they potentially could make.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Adu had 3 blocks in the game. He is a natural rim protector. He causes people to miss layups. Brent Huntley Hatfield, I don't think he's not a rim protector, but he is a presence that you have to account for. Offensively and defensively. So, yeah, I really like these two. I like their potential. I wish we could have saw it kind of earlier. But, you know, Kumwal was in there as well, and we would like to have him back as well because he is another kind of athletic big guy. But, yeah, these two are going to be fun to build around. I think Tennessee has something with them. You know, I wish we could have got Jabari Smith. no offense to these two, but you know, I like the future of Tennessee basketball with the you know, your front court and Adu and BHH.
100%. And you mentioned Kumwa. He's still probably your best offensive big man, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. He just more polished and just played right. more basketball.
Right.
But, you know, you play a guy like if Adu plays 30 minutes, like he probably could have against Kentucky, and he has that kind of game.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, Kumwah was – he was – let's say what it is. Kumwah is a decent basketball player. Good, yeah, and good basketball player. But he struggled against teams with size.
Yeah, and I was about to say I would kind of like to see him on the court as, at the same time as a guy like Adu. Give him a rim protector to play next to. Yeah, take some pressure off him having to be the guy down low. And he might play a little bit better defensively.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this was kind of just an act to build on that atmosphere. Like, we just had that collapse to make it tight, just to make that atmosphere a little bit better.
Yeah, I had to send Folky out on a high note, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe send him out. I mean, what's he got left? 6-7 years of eligibility? What's another 7 on top of 30? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
just lifetime membership. Mm-hmm. Lifetime membership.
YMCA, baby.
Do they do lifetimes?
I don't know.
But you did have that three-headed monster kind of come back alive this game. Ziegler, Vescovi, and Kennedy Chandler all scoring double digits again. So feels good to feel a sense of normalcy. And as you head into SEC tournament play, and really interested to see how these guys do. Hopefully they win their first SEC game, kind of going back-to-back days and what that – do you talk about it? Elevated guard play is what takes you into March deep. And so getting that short tournament that has short turnaround time like the NCAA tournament, I'm very excited and interested to see that.
Yeah, I just think we're kind of getting a little turnover happy at the wrong time. I don't really like to see that. Just 17, I think, against Georgia, you had 15 or something like that. So I like to see that.
10 of those came in the first half, I think.
Yeah, I would like to see that dwindle down a little bit, but 12 of 18 from three, you're not going to lose many games shooting like that. I mean, you had more twos than you had more threes than you did twos in this game, which is insane. So Tennessee's playing good basketball. I mean, that second half wasn't ideal by any means, but you came out on top. I mean, you played both halves for a reason.
It's a good Arkansas team. So to pretend that leads comfortable in a late game against a team like that, you just got to know it's not.
Yep.
And then when the refs are going to blow their whistle every 2 minutes, actually more than that, every about minute, what would that be, about minute 37-ish, 50 fouls and more than that, every minute.
Mm-hmm.
They're blowing their whistle every minute plus. I mean, every less than a minute. It's insane. It's not basketball. I don't understand how I'm going to go in the NCAA in my fail of the week. I don't understand how the NCAA can watch games like that and be happy with the product that they're putting together. Because you are very much responsible for the officials.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing, it was pretty consistent. They didn't just call a bunch of charges for Jalen Williams, so that was nice to see.
I would like to see him consistently shut up.
That's true, yeah. Just swallow your whistle.
Literally choke on it and die.
Oh my God.
You heard me. I had two Arkansas games that go like that. Choke. That takes it, but that makes it almost not an enjoyable. Like, I enjoyed it because I'm a Tennessee fan, but there's not a soul that was a non-Tennessee Arkansas fan that watched that game and thought that was a good basketball game because of the whistles.
Good point. Yeah.
Not a soul. I pulled him. I know.
Yeah. But yeah, undefeated at home, beaten number 6 Arizona, number 13 LSU, number 4 Kentucky, number 3 Auburn, and 14 Arkansas. Was all in that 16-0 home streak this season. So pretty impressive. I mean, I wish you could play every game in Thompson Bowling Arena in March, but It is what it is.
Maybe if we're like Coach K, maybe we can request it. He requested Chicago, didn't he? Maybe we can request Thompson Bowling Arena specifically?
Yeah, maybe.
Why do they not do NCAA tournament games at arenas like Thompson Bowling Arena? Big, nice arenas like Rupp. I don't know. It's very strange to me. You don't display some of your best stadiums, and I don't understand it. Like same for postseason football. And I get why you don't have the national championship or the Final Four there. I get that. I just don't understand some of the early games. I don't get some of the meaningless bowls. Why do you not try to promote your brand? I don't get that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. It seems too simple, Landon. It's too simple. Let me ask you this. If you're in the chat, I want answers. Don't be quiet. Don't be shy. If you had you can pick bowl or March Madness game, just one stadium or one arena. It has to be an NCAA participant. So didn't Tulane used to play at the Mercedes-Benz Dome?
Yeah.
I would technically count that, something like that. If you could see one game be played at a stadium that it's not, like the Liberty Bowl gets played at the Liberty Bowl. So game, March Madness game, early tournament game, or meaningless bowl game, what stadium or arena you want to see it in? Don't be shy. I want to hear. Do you have one?
Like, does it have to make sense?
I'm just saying, like, a game that you're like, that they games need to be played there. Players need to participate in a game there. If it's like in like Arizona, I don't think they play anything at Sun Devil Stadium anymore. That's a great stadium. Obviously, the Tostitos Bowl used to be there, but now it's in Phoenix. It used to be University of Phoenix Stadium. I don't know what it is now. So I think it's State Farm or State Farm Stadium now. But something like that, like a game maybe it used to be there. Stadiums that should be played in, something like that. Or I mean, Neyland would be a great bowl host. If you're playing one in Nashville and Memphis, playing in Neyland doesn't make sense, or not playing in Neyland doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like why use it for venues for stuff other than the sport it's supposed to host, like the Big House?
The Big House would be a great bowl stadium. It would be very cold that time of year, so that one I kind of understand. But yes, playing a game at the Big House would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Actually, no. During that weather, I want to see a snowy bowl game.
There you go, yeah.
Perfect. Big House is a good one.
I mean, if you don't want to play in that bowl game, you don't have to.
Deny it. Yeah. Exactly. I like the Big House. That's a good answer. I don't know on mine. I think a NCAA tournament weekend in Thompson Bowling Arena would be a lot of fun. Whether Tennessee plays in or not, I think fans would really – I mean, it's a good arena. The outside looks a little janky, but you step in it, it's a great basketball arena.
Yeah, I like that. I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, smaller stadiums, especially like Cameron, you know, stadiums like that who are smaller.
Yeah, I don't –
But you wouldn't – I mean, you're not going to have a lot of people travel that anyway. Now maybe you would for a big game, but if it was like a first round game, two teams that aren't playing in it are like, it's not Duke.
Right.
Like you probably don't.
Is Cameron
11?
I'd argue that. Is Cameron the same if Duke's not playing there?
Probably not.
Whereas like, I feel like
it's probably all nice different. Arena.
Right. Right.
Cause like you wouldn't fill up Thompson Bowling Arena. You wouldn't fill up the Dean Dome. You wouldn't feel like Kentucky.
You're talking about North Carolina. That's a great arena.
Yeah.
That I feel like could be used for something like that.
And they don't even let their girls basketball play in there.
Rupp does. The girls basketball for Kentucky play somewhere else too. They don't play in Rupp.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange.
Sorry, you guys are seeing how my mind works. I can go anywhere with these topics. You should have heard our conversations Friday night watching Tennessee versus Texas.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you what they were about.
Yeah, weird.
Went everywhere with them. Let's talk about the guys who impressed us on Saturday. We talked about how Tennessee is. You got to be kind of happy with how they're playing right now going into March. Who are some guys that impressed you on Saturday and maybe excited to see next week in Tampa?
Yeah, I got to go with Kenny Chandler. Being 5'6", I mean, I think the offense like when he was out due to foul trouble, that's when things started turning toward Arkansas. You know, they mm-hmm. saw a little blood in the water and kind of took advantage of it. So I'm going to go with him. I think he's the one that's going to take us far in March. I think other guys maybe have that capability, but I think he's your best player. He's your ball handler. The offense runs through him. The offense is the only thing that's worrisome. Defense is there.
Right.
And he had to guard JD Notae a lot the other night, and JD Notae was 6-20. I know he got 20 points, but he was basically the only one shooting late in the game.
I like that one, and I agree with going deep. I'm gonna go Mr. Consistent, Santiago Vescovi. He's your guy who went 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 3-for-4 from three, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, 2 steals. He's been kind of that Mr. Consistent all year, 15 points. So I'm gonna give you another one other than Kennedy Chandler and go with our boy Vescovi.
Vescovi. I was super impressed with Brandon Hundley Hatfield. 7 points, 4 rebounds. He was only 2-of-6 and 3-of-5 from the free throw line, but I just think he's a difference maker. And we were super worried after Kumal went down, like, what the hell are we going to do down low? But him and I'll add Adu in that as well, because he had 3 yeah. blocks, 3 points, 3 offensive rebounds, 5 total rebounds. So, I mean, those two guys have really made the most of the opportunity, and hopefully they're able to continue to build some confidence and, you know, get even better as we get later into March.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with, honestly, a lot. I mean, Urosh has impressed me. I think he's kind of been what you need him to be. It was unfortunate that early in the season you thought you needed more from him, but now that you're getting help from BHH and Adu, and even Folky's giving you some at times, you need more from him still. But I think Urosh has kind of been what you need him to be, nothing more.
Yeah, so,
I've liked that. Yeah, I think this team's playing really good. I'm very excited to see him and hopefully continue playing well into March, and maybe a game in April, maybe 2 games in April would be nice.
How unfortunate is that Chandler and Fulgerson were out for that Alabama game?
Well, I was also about to say, you were talking about undefeated at home. I was like, how nice would it have been to get just one of those away games
at home?
Yeah. You played some tough. You played well. I'm just saying, win one of those away that you lost. Oh, yeah. LSU, Alabama, Kentucky. Just win one of those games.
Yep,
Arkansas. Arkansas would have been the best to get, turns out.
Yep.
Yeah, it would have been fun. Would have made it a lot better.
Because you'd have won the SEC.
You would have, yeah. Co-owned it. But yeah, you would have. And you would have been the one seed.
So they wouldn't do a tiebreaker. Whoever has the record, they wouldn't do a tiebreaker since we beat Auburn.
The tiebreaker would just be to determine seeding.
Okay. Okay.
You'd co-own the championship and
gotcha.
Because we would have, if Auburn had lost, we would have had a championship share of the championship, but we would have been the one seed.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I don't know why they do it that way, but I think I got to assume it's because a lot of teams play twice, maybe.
Yeah. I just assume like if you play twice, like you're 1-1.
Then that it would go the next tiebreaker, right?
Or
I think you would just, or co-champion.
Yeah, yeah, I think you do co-champions at that point. But if you only played once, who won that head-to-head? That's your champion. Right. But
yeah, no, I mean that's fair. Well, I don't understand it, but it's also when you're
Kansas and Baylor, they are co-champions and they beat each other each time. So gotcha. Like they're 1-1. So that's why it made sense that they shared it. But
right. And I will say this, as great as it is to win, I'm not taking away anything because when Tennessee won it, loved it, ran a regular season. Basketball is truly a game or a sport of tournaments. So the big one's the tournament. So winning next week, winning the one in March, that's the one that matters. Obviously, it's great to win it, but I think that may be kind of the logic that goes into it. It is a long season. So I don't know. It is weird, certainly.
So the 3 seed is Arkansas, right?
3 seed is Kentucky. 4 seed okay. is Arkansas. So we'll play Kentucky assuming those teams win.
Yeah, we beat.
We win, Kentucky wins, yeah. Winner of, oh gosh, let me pull it up. Yeah, let me pull that up, actually. Kind of run through that. What are some, I know there are some recruits there in Thompson Bowling Arena, maybe having a good time. And I know we want to talk about Junior Day.
Yeah, I mean, first, we'll I think that added to the atmosphere. You know, a lot of guys that did some interviews this weekend really talked about the basketball game and how cool that was to see. I mean, they checkered it out, sold out crowd, and a game that Tennessee won on Senior Day for Junior Day. So pretty cool. But, yeah, the We Want Nico chance happened. That was pretty cool. You know, his family had a great time up here. They're still up here. I think they leave tomorrow. But they've been up here all weekend. You know, they are at the – his family was up on the rooftop bar last night with Heupel, Golish. Halsley was up there as well. So, I mean, they're having a good old time. Nico is – you know, they're playing – him and his brother Madden were playing Top Golf down there in the embassy and, you know, taking pictures with people. And, you know, I'm sure they're just having just a great time. It definitely seemed like that from the rooftop that his family was having a really good time. They were watching the fights, and I'm sure just
– dang, they were out late.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were – I guess we left at midnight, and I think they're kind of heading out at the same time. So, you know, I know that one's not going to be easy, but you got him in town. You got him and his family here for a weekend. He was here, I think, this fall as well. So, going to be hard to get that – those West Coast kids to Tennessee. And then you got to fight off Georgia and Alabama if he does end up coming to the SEC. But if you do, my goodness. I mean, this you found some of Josh Heupel if you're landing those kids from California.
Right, right. We'll jump back into football. I did pull up the bracket here. So Tennessee will play the winner of Mississippi State and South Carolina. Kentucky will play the winners of the winner between Georgia and Vanderbilt, and then that winner will play Alabama. That winner will play Kentucky. So that's Tennessee's side of the bracket for next weekend. Tennessee plays on, let's see, they're the seventh game. Is that right? I got to look at this. Ninth game. Sorry. So that's on Friday. Will be Tennessee's first game.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I'm ready to get to the dance, baby. It looks like Tennessee's going to be a three seed in that.
Like Tennessee at worst is going to be a three seed, which is incredible.
It looks like if Tennessee's able to maybe at least get to the championship or even win it, they could possibly be a two seed. So
exciting stuff.
Yeah,
exciting stuff. Good day, good time to be a ball. I'll tell you that.
But yeah, Nico. I mean, that's it would be cool. It really would.
Yes.
I mean, I walked by him. The kid is every bit of 6'5". I mean, he is massive. But, yeah, apparently he's getting comparisons to, like, Justin Herbert is, like, the main comparison, which, I mean, I'd gladly take a Justin Herbert on my team.
Yeah, from what I've seen from Justin, wouldn't mind.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of happens with that. But yeah, Tennessee's, you know, riding the thick of things with that, and hopefully they're able to. I'm sure they had a good showing. It just seems like we have some genuine coaches in charge. I know that's probably like beating a dead horse, but
yeah, I'm gonna sit out on that one right now. I'm gonna wait till they get fired to comment on that.
But like Heupel, like Rick Barnes, Tony Vitello, Kelly Harper, it just like. Those are people like you could go up to and ask to like have their picture made, and I feel like all four of those people would.
Well, Pruitt got sexually assaulted in Gus's and didn't seem to mind too much.
He was kind of weird about it though.
I mean, that's just his personality. Super weird. Probably would have been weird in that situation too. That guy was all over him.
That's true. That's a good point. But yeah, we'll see. Also. In this weekend was a 4-star athlete, Christian Conyer, out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. 3-star defensive lineman, Nathan Robinson, out of Greenbrier, Tennessee. 4-star Caleb Herring, edge, out of Riverdale High School in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And then got a commit today. Three-star wide receiver from Lipscomb Academy in the Nashville area. Nate Spielman, committed to Tennessee. He's a kind of outside receiver, 6'1", 6'2", 194 pounds. Got some good speed, runs good routes. And it goes up and gets those 50-50 balls. So this is a kid they targeted and really liked. You know, his ranking is not just over the top, but his brother is pretty good too. I think he's an outside linebacker in the 2024-2025 class, one of those. I don't remember.
Building family connection. I like it.
Yeah, kind of that Caleb Elijah Herring, kind of the same thing there where you're trying to, you know, get one and hopefully you get both of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I think adding him is just you're building that in-state recruiting class, which last year you only had two in the recruiting class, and then this year you have four total commits for 2023, and two of them are in-state guys. So definitely like to see guys from Tennessee stay home. And then you have a guy coming back to Tennessee in Georgia Tech transfer, Wesley Walker, defensive back, previously out of Innsworth in Nashville. And, you know, had quite a bit of – I think he played 28 games at Georgia Tech in his career. And 23 games, I'm sorry, 96 tackles, two TFLs, two fumble recoveries, and six pass deflections. So a guy that can really add depth to that defensive back room and – you know, probably is a nickel-ish, maybe safety kind of guy. I think he played a lot of those things at Georgia Tech and then, you know, decide to come back, play for Willie Martinez, and we'll take him.
Yeah, absolutely. I like you said, kind of adding depth to that defensive back group is going to be big. Kind of still, especially with some of your experience gone, definitely looking to fill some holes. So, especially getting a guy that's played college football is big for that.
Yeah, Theo Jackson was a huge loss, so definitely want to try to match that production there. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to, but maybe, you know, do by committee where, you know, Danico Slaughter or Tamiri McDonald,
right.
Christian Charles, you know, a lot of those guys can probably fill that void.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else for kind of this recruiting weekend or football or before we jump into the fun part of the show, the –
We're the baseball podcast.
We're baseball. We're a Tony Vitello podcast. We're Zakiya Ziegler. Zakiya Ziegler and then baseball podcast. That's our podcast.
That's fair. I get it.
Yeah. This is it. Let's do it. Let's talk some Houston travel. What's your favorite MLB ballpark to watch on TV?
Man, that's tough. It's definitely not Minute Maid.
Really? I kind of like Minute Maid.
Really?
I think there's just something. It looks good on TV, and I like the – I mean, what do you see a lot of that you kind of – because, I mean, when you're watching the pitch, you don't get a lot of the outfield. You get, like, two rows of the stands, so all the parks look the same, really. So I think when I think of ballparks on TV, I think of what the outfield wall and everything behind that looks like. So like for me, I think Minute Maid looks good. Of course, I think Chicago looks fantastic.
Yeah. I think Chicago looks good. I think San Francisco looks cool too.
Nice. San Fran looks good. St. Louis looks good. That hurts to say as a Cubs fan, but St. Louis has a great looking ballpark when you're looking out over the wall there. So yeah, no, I enjoyed watching the MLB Network and Astros.com were not good broadcast, but watching games in that stadium was, I don't mind it. And there are no trash cans being banged. And
that we know like of.
That we know of. And I like that Tennessee showed that they can hit the ball out of the park somewhere like Minute Maid, because we were looking it up Friday night. Shout out to, is it Callum Vall? Is that how I say it? His ad handle, shout out to him. He had dropped the distance comparing it to TD Ameritrade there in Omaha. So the fact that Tennessee's hitting them out there kind of gives you confidence a little bit if maybe Tennessee gets back there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, ran into a really good team in Texas. I guess we'll start with Friday night. That thing's going for you. I mean, Chase Burns was shoving it. He pitched 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 10 Ks. It was 1-1 when he went out of the game. And, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, didn't. You know, maybe you could have let him go another inning, but he went with Camden Sewell, who's been great for you.
And that's another thing. He probably could have gone another inning. Was that just Texas's inning, though? Does that happen to Chase Burns? I mean, you obviously can't say that for sure because Camden Sewell's a great pitcher, too. Obviously, you get a guy in there that's kind of rocking, and you'd like to see him maybe ride it out. But like you said, woulda, coulda, shoulda, it sucks. And it sucks for a guy like Camden, who's given you so much in his Tennessee career, that he comes in and that happens to him. And like you said, you just run into a really good Texas team. You see it Saturday against LSU. And then did UCLA end up knocking them off today?
They're up, I think, 5-1 in the eighth. So I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't get the final. And it's good to play these big teams in the kind of the early going. When you look at some of the out of conference teams Tennessee's playing this year, especially in their weekend series, you don't have a lot of challenges.
It was 5-1. Yep.
Okay. So they did get knocked off by UCLA today. But you don't see a lot of the same challenges. Like, you had Mississippi State open with Long Beach State, played Tulane this weekend.
They're 6-6. They're not having a great. Yeah, I mean, I know they played some good teams, but they are not off to the start that they wanted to be.
No, absolutely not, regardless of who they played. But yeah, I think I think getting a team like this is good. I don't think it's necessarily good to go play teams in the weekend series that you could end up 6-6. That's got to hurt the confidence a little bit. But running into a team like Texas is unfortunate when they're on. You obviously got to be real on. You play a weekend series. I'd like to see Tennessee play Texas on Saturday night after that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you're playing them at their best. They had their ace on the mound. We had our best. We'd love to have Blade Tidwell as well, but the best we have right now was Chase Burns. And
he played like the best too. I mean, you just mentioned it.
And you're going to have to go to your bullpen sometimes. So, like, it probably could have been the next inning where they just, you know, everything kind of went their way and Tennessee kind of fell apart a little bit.
And two, it's not just on Cam and Sewell. You get out of that inning earlier if Jarrell makes that play at second. It's an unfortunate mistake that happens. But it's not all on the pitching. It truly is a team effort when it comes to defensive play. You get a ground out for a double play, you got to turn that in a situation like that. So Camden didn't play his best. I think he would agree. It definitely took a team effort that you just didn't get there.
Yeah, when a guy goes out that has 10 strikeouts and you just can't hit, it's going to give you a little bit of a boost. And right. You got, like you said, you got to be on your game. And, you know, maybe he wasn't, or maybe they were just dialed in. We're like, thank God we don't have to face Chase Burns anymore. Unfortunate. I mean, you had the Luke Lipsius strikeout that was so far off the plate. It wasn't funny.
It was in the right-handed batter's box.
And there was a play today where a kid got hit, but he showed the bunt and he pulled it back and half of his foot was, you know, not in the batter's box. It was close to the plate.
Or on the mound, on the plate.
Like, how does – that doesn't make sense to me. Is how is he able to be kind of over the plate and get hit and still get the base?
Who'd they get for leaning in on Friday night? Who was it? On a 10-minute review?
Was it Blake Burke?
It might have been on a freaking. Yeah. I hate reviewing baseball more than any sport.
Yeah, they're super long, and I mean maybe they're long in Major League too, but they just seem super long in college baseball, especially this weekend.
And I don't know what all you're trying to like. I still hate it in football, but I think there are more things you got to figure out, like the clock. You got to figure out where the yard line's coming back to or going to. There's a lot. You're not piecing that much information together in a baseball play.
Yeah, my thing is like. Okay, you made your, like, bang, bang play, you made what you called. then you slow it down and make the same call. Like, I don't understand why it takes so, like, why do you have to get right. it?
If it's confirmed, it should be done.
Yeah, piece it together. Like that, the one today where Jarrell Ortega or Evan Russell throws out a dude from his knees because ball's in the dirt, he delayed steal, stole, and Ortega tags him. They call him safe. They review it. You can see as soon as, like, clear as day, as soon as they slow it down, he's out. Just call him out.
Right. Right. No clue what you're trying to piece together in those, but yeah, it's very frustrating. Regardless, I mean, Friday night was not a night Tennessee had, but they did bounce back Saturday afternoon and had themselves a day against Baylor. You get to see the ball go out of the park more. Obviously, you had that one Friday night with Evan Russell, which was nice, but got to see it more fly more on Saturday.
Yeah, I think your first two batters on Friday really struggled. And Saturday and Sunday, it just seems like it was kind of everybody was hitting in this game. They just found their bats. Had a lot of timely hits. A lot of their runs came with two outs, including Jordan Beck's bomb that, you know, if the top wasn't on Minute Maid, it's probably still going. And he called it, too.
In Kiv's front yard.
Yeah, it is. Ben McKee asked him, like, have you thought about hitting it over the train? And he's like, oh, if it happens, it happens. Well, he did it.
He was trying to land it in the Minute Maid container, the orange container. Yeah, oranges container.
Is that kind of like the what is it with you know when Zeke jumped in that? It was
It was the ring the bell people.
Shriners, is that what it is?
What are they? That's not Shriners that does that at Christmas time, is it? Shriners.
Yeah.
He says, okay. Yeah, he jumped in like the big container for the
donation. So this was a Shriners thing too. Yeah, there we go. We're trying to get donations for it. Yeah. spreading awareness. Love it. But yeah, overcame a 4-run deficit in the first inning. You know, they just walked a couple guys. Dolander finally settled down after that first inning. You know, I feel like they were going to go to the bullpen and then – we tied up, and they're like, all right, 0-0, go back out there and find yourself. And he did. And then, man, Kirby Cannell, when he came in, good God.
That's the best he's looked. And I know he hadn't played a ton this season. That's the best he's looked this season, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Maybe you get to show it off a little more against a team like Baylor.
Yeah, they're not great, but I definitely think they're better than
– they're the best team you played besides Texas.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Man, ETSU is pretty good.
ETSU.
Tennessee Tech. Right.
No.
Yeah, you're probably right. Definitely second or third up there. But yeah, he was phenomenal. Jared Dickey hit the ball all weekend.
Was it the stash? I don't think he's been curling the stash lately. You think it's he brought it back and it's looking.
I don't know. Maybe all this NIL money's kind of gotten to his head and he finally just mellowed it out. The Volley Fingers. That's a badass shirt, though. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's a bad. I don't know if I'll have to find it and send it to you. But yeah, it's basically just like a outline of him with his mustache, and it says Volley Fingers.
Did you see? So speaking of that, did you see the Auburn thumb finger?
Yeah, big penis.
That's a dick.
Yeah. I don't know how that.
You got to think that one through, guys. You can't just put that to print.
Yeah, somebody that ran through multiple people, and all those people signed off on it. But that's what happens.
Lordy, lordy.
You got to have somebody like me and you like sign, be the last person to sign off. They're like, guys, is there any way this can get turned into like a penis or some kind of
shoot me an email
erotic figure,
right? Which I was kind of thinking about it. Foam fingers kind of can be that, anyways. But then you add the ball on top, and you're like, no, that's definitely a penis.
Yeah.
Also, yep. The hand looked more weird than most foam fingers. You have a foam finger up. Oh, you have the
turn. Yeah, I have the turn. Okay. Up.
I was about to say I want to see a foam finger flipped. To see if it does kind of look like a penis. Because now that I'm thinking about it, it might already look like a penis. Mm. I've said penis a lot in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. I know what's on your mind.
Thanks, Bruce Pearl.
Yeah. But yeah, Jared Dickey hit the crap out of the ball this weekend. You know, Drew Gilbert, he was hitting well until he got a hamstring issue and didn't play today, but they didn't act like it was too serious.
Yeah.
More just kind of saving him. He was in the dugout hopping around being his normal self. So, Jordan Beck, everything he hit was a freaking rocket.
Yeah.
And it was usually right to somebody, unfortunately. But he finally got his and smoked one out with two outs. I think they I forget. There was another big play with two outs. But yeah, Tennessee just hit the ball with two outs today. And then Saturday, they did a great job of that as well. Drew Beam. Speaking, I mean, good Lord. He's an athlete. I know he played quarterback at Blackman. What is that? Oh, yeah.
What glass did he break? I mean, good God. Like a double pane window shattered.
Yeah, Danny White might be paying for something at Minute Maid Park.
Also, did you see somebody comment on it? Did you see the umpire after it?
Yeah. That was weird.
He wanted to make sure it got out.
Yeah.
If I was the umpire, I would have stood up immediately after and gave the after I hear that. I had to watch the ball.
You got to. Yeah, today just took care of business, jumped on Oklahoma early and didn't look back. They only had five hits in the game. I mentioned Drew Beam was phenomenal. He's the most underrated pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
On this pitching staff. And I mean, the dude is just an athlete. I mean, he makes, like, he took one, I think, off the shin maybe 2 weekends ago, threw the guy out. You know, as soon as he did, I think Kirby Cannell did that yesterday too. But I mean, you can see that kind of like natural athlete in him. Like, he's just a
right
ball player. I don't know. Like, I mean, he's looking like a pitcher too, but he's just a freaking athlete. Two hits, five innings, six strikeouts, one walk, no runs. I mean, I think 48. No, more than that. I think 51 maybe of his pitches were strikes out of his 68. I mean, it was
– jeez. Yeah, I mean, that goes into – I mean, that's the way Brent Anderson – they're going to attack the plate, man.
Yep. You're going to have to attack, earn it.
Strike zone. Yep.
And then Christian Moore. Good God. I mean, he has like, 11 at-bats, and he has 10 RBIs, three home runs. Including one he had it today. He did it the hard way and had an inside the Parker. Yeah, he was 3 for 4, I think, on the day. But, man, he's another one. Like, this team is just deep. And it's going to be hard not in and not out to keep guys out of your lineup. Like a Jared Dickey, for example. I mean, he kind of had to bat 800 for them to finally put him in the lineup. And now he's showing out. And Christian Moore the same way. He's like, hey, I need a role too.
Yep.
Yep. Stevenson's another one. Chambers, they'd like to see him get going, but just hasn't to this point. So yeah, there's a Blake Burke hit a bomb today. Somebody said he looked like Jason Giambi, and I was like, whoa. That's a comparison.
I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah. Also, did you see this is a fail, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it because it reminded me of it. So Barstool tweeted that they need to do an A-Rod Jeter like Manning cast thing for baseball, and which like that doesn't.
Yeah, don't.
As much as I like those two, I'd like to see what that would look like, but you don't have to mimic something that's already cool.
I don't think you get the same dynamic.
No, you wouldn't. And somebody was like, it needs to be brothers, like the Giambi brothers. And some guy was like, didn't Jeremy die?
Like a month ago.
Yeah, and he was like, the guy was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I just don't see that taking off then.
Oh,
I'll have to find the exact comment.
That would be an impressive broadcast from the MLB Network if they could get him on somehow.
It said, didn't Jeremy die? And he said, yes. So not sure how that broadcast is going to work out.
Also, at least with A-Rod Jr., you're getting the same kind of – I feel like it doesn't necessarily need to be brothers. It needs to be guys that have the same stature that Elon Payton had.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Like, it has to be that same it has to be the same dynamic between the two of them and of the stature.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, I mean, Jeter and A-Rod are friends, no doubt, but I don't know if they're that, like you said, that.
And are they dynamic. Are they that good of friends?
I couldn't tell you.
See, I feel like the fact that you don't know that tells me no.
Right, exactly.
Maybe. Who knows? No, I think, yeah. I mean, there a lot of people are going to try to mimic. I'm sure the NBA will have something soon, which I feel like the NBA, why is Charles Barkley and Shaq not already have one?
That's a good point, yeah.
That dynamic and stature would work. So I feel like it's going to be mimicked here in the next couple of years with every major league. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Tennessee's good. They're a top 10 team. In my opinion, I think they solidified that this weekend. So, D1 Baseball, Baseball America, better see y'all tomorrow with those rankings. Let's get it up.
Get it up. And tomorrow, make sure you come back here Monday night, 8 o'clock. Be here. The bat flip. Landon and Dylan will really dive into each game, each pitch, if you will. It might be a long one on that. dive into each game and really get into the nitty and gritty of this weekend and kind of recapping it, preparing you for this week for the Vols as well. And also exciting news, former Vol, Cody Hahn, be coming on the show here soon. Also, you may have heard his voice earlier this season. He's been broadcasting with ESPN on Tennessee for Tennessee on the weekends there. So you definitely heard his voice already this year. So we're going to be excited to get him on, talk about some of his time at Tennessee, but also the Vols right now. And what he's seeing out of college baseball landscape, SEC baseball landscape, and Tennessee. Excited to get that done. Get him on.
Yeah, super excited also, for that. Terrific speaking dude of, also.
Yes, and I feel like he fits in with the dynamic at Tennessee right now. Because when you're talking about a dude that can absolutely murder the ball, bombs only, it's Cody Hahn.
Can straight rake. I mean, we saw that from high school to like – Walter State to Tennessee. I mean, that dude, every level could rake.
Yeah, I don't. They might have should have left the lights that he busted out at Lindsey Nelson, just left them in memory of him.
Yeah, put them in like a museum or something.
Exactly. He, speaking of a guy who needs to go to BP.
Or wasn't there, I forget, I think it was Vanderbilt. Where he hit like two home runs and they like took his bat and checked it.
They checked it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. We'll have to ask him about that. I hadn't heard that.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I can't wait to get him on. That's it's gonna be a fun one. He's been great on ESPN. If you haven't been at the games, he's in there. So make sure you get to listen to a former Vol call in the game. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, how it's the hometown, which I know ESPN isn't the hometown broadcast, but getting a guy that cares about the team, it makes it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he doesn't bring the Burt Bertle camp on with him, but I'm sure it excites him a little bit to see Tennessee doing well too.
Oh, for sure. And the guy knows the game. I mean,
yep.
He can't stay away from it.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, right.
Clearly. All right. Anything else any last thoughts on Houston before we jump into some questions and segments?
No, man. I'm good.
All right. Well, do we have any questions? I already got to one that we had on Twitter that was dropped there at the beginning.
Did you see Nico's picture he took with Halsley, Golish, and Heupel?
No, I didn't. Sorry, guys. You have to see my ugly face even closer. Is that a G-Wagon?
Yep.
That's awesome. Get that bag, Nico. Get that bag.
We'll see. All right, man. Well,
We'll most important of the week. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Most important. I'm good.
All right, let's roll into it.
Most important. My first one is Alante Taylor running a 4.3640 at the combine. That's... good for him, man. He's made him some money. Because that was the one thing that was worrisome, and he silenced all the doubters.
Right. Right. That's yeah. I'm
because he's got the size, he's long, he's good in run support. I mean, yeah, he struggled in coverage, but I think you can fix some of that a little bit.
Right.
With that kind of speed.
Yeah. Oh, Hunter, and good to see him get invited to the combine and get a chance to show it off.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, what did Cade run?
Like a 5.2.
Yeah.
Matthew Butler ran a 5.5 today.
Dang, not slow, boys.
Yeah.
Jordan Davis casually ran like a 4.58.
Are you serious?
Is that what it was? Well, I've also got another Georgia guy that I got to compliment. Shout out to the punters of the world. What did Jordan Davis run, though? It was stupid. 4.78, which is also incredibly fast, by the way. I know you hear 4.4 thrown around, 4.5 thrown around.
He's 341 pounds.
4.78 at 341 pounds should be illegal. He should be thrown in jail immediately. That man can take over the world easily.
His 10-yard split was quicker than Jarvis Landry.
That's insane. And shout out to Georgia punter Jake Camarada, I think is how you say his name. Guess his 40 time. Georgia punter. Just throw a number out.
4.5. 4.5, 4.6. Dang.
Punters are people too, baby. Bringing them back. That was faster than non receivers and non running backs.
Good Lord.
I've also got another one. This is some college baseball. Do you see where Mississippi State? This has been a tradition for a long time, and it's kind of getting picked up, like, notice because teams are tweeting about it, where they give out, like, leftovers from the game, like, the people in the outfield that cook, they give them to the away team. That's awesome. Like, that just feels like college baseball to me. You get those outdoor grills in the back, in the patios cooking, and then giving them to the away team, feeding the bad guys.
Yeah, that's good. You don't
love it. Better than Putin. Taking care of them better than Putin. And then I've got one more for baseball. Louisiana Lafayette sold out of their $2 beers in like the top or the bottom of the first or something like that.
Jesus.
Dude, they pack that stadium. It's not very big. I don't know what it seats, but they pack it in. It seems like every night.
That's awesome.
And then, of course, for $2 beer night, you know it's going to be packed in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I mean, you'd have to get there friggin' 2 hours early. As soon as they opened the gates to do that at Lindsey Nelson. There was $2 beers.
You just tell me where to go. I'll be there for $2 beers. You want to go to Louisiana Lafayette?
Kinda.
All right, let's do it.
Any fails?
Fails. I had the penises at Auburn. That was my fail. So I'm looking for another one because I already brought that up in the show. Dude, I went to a restaurant last night. I won't name drop it. It was a pretty nice restaurant. It was the weirdest experience I've ever had in my entire life.
Where is it at?
It's in Townsend, I think, technically in Townsend. It was very weird. I don't even know how to describe it. One of the weird things was the food runner was literally, I'm not saying she was moving quickly when I say this. She was literally sprinting. She would turn around from our table and sprint. She came to our table twice out of breath. It was so weird.
Man, that's fast food.
It was the strangest thing I've ever experienced. I left that thing weird.
Yikes.
Our waiter got engaged today, so congratulations.
Wait, what?
He told, I mean, I of course struck up a conversation with, I guess she was, I don't know what they call it, at nicer restaurants, kind of the hostess. And she was like, your waiter is my boyfriend. He'll be, and it got to the conversation of eventually she was like, he's proposing to me tomorrow. Like, we're getting engaged tomorrow. So, congratulations.
She already knows.
I feel like all women know now, right? I feel like women pick out the ring. Like, it's just,
I feel like they know, like, they probably shouldn't know until that day.
Yeah, no. They pick. I agree. They pick up on the hints. They realize it's happening. But I feel like women even know. They're like, it's happening this week. Like, they know that now. Like, we've shot for a ring a month ago. We're going on a nice date tomorrow, or Saturday. I don't know. Just seems like nowadays they always know.
See, Raven didn't even know I had a ring.
Shout out, dude. Buying it on your own.
Yeah, dude. I went to my grandma.
Smart choice. You got to take a woman along.
Yeah.
Oh, I did have the dude that threw 7 hats, including the Miami hat, before he committed to Miami, Trayvon Citizen. I get trying to fake out, but maybe don't throw your own team's hat.
It's just so exhausting to watch now.
I don't even like it anymore.
I don't either. Like, it's not cool. And even with the transfer portal like that, I think it takes away from signing day. It's like that kid's probably not even going to be at Miami for 4 years or 3 years.
I would almost say he definitely won't be at Miami.
Probably not. I have one fail, and it's a Mississippi State. So they are most important and failed. So
yeah, shout out. That's
So up one, bottom of the 7th, bases loaded. Balk.
Oh my gosh.
To start the like batter, hadn't even thrown a pitch yet, and balks.
Yikes!
So they tie, and Tulane ends up winning the game and the series.
They did win, like, didn't they win like 12-1 on Saturday too?
Mississippi State like blew them out. Yeah, on Friday. And then Saturday.
Friday was 12-1, I think.
Saturday it was like 11-10, and Tulane hit a walk off in like the 11th or something like that.
Yikes.
So yeah. Mississippi State. I mean, they're still in the top 10. How?
You think they gave food to Tulane today?
Maybe. it was at Tulane.
It was at Tulane? Okay. Yeah. I was like, I think we talked about this.
Tulane probably did not give them food.
I don't know, man. I like kind of being like, hey, thanks for coming, giving us a series win. Here's a play for the ride home, boys. Yeah, here's a dog for the ride home. At least it wasn't a 12-hour bus ride this time for Mississippi State. Shout out, Iona.
Good God. You know what's even worse? Tennessee plays James Madison, who's not bad. I think they're 8-4. Rhode Island this weekend, 0-10 so far this season.
Golly. I didn't realize they were 0-10. I knew they were struggling. They played Auburn this weekend. They got blown out just about every game.
Yeah, they played them 4 times. I think they had 2 shutouts.
Be a fun one this weekend. Yep. I won't be able to be there. I have tickets, so sorry.
You have tickets to the game?
To Rhode Island Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You gonna like sell them or?
No, I'm trying to get a formal vol in the seats. So.
Okay.
Yeah, trying to give them away. Do my due diligence.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Good thing, man. That's all I got.
They're $12 tickets. I'm not. Not dying for them. Yeah. I think they might have been 10 actually. Whatever. Good to go. Yeah, no, it's been fun today. We'll see you guys tomorrow night with Landon and Dylan on the bat flip. Then back again here on Thursday night. And we'll do it again.
We want Nico. That's all we got. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.